This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. Logan Paulson there. Craig Hoffman here. And Logan, it's officially draft season. We're getting into it. We're going to do our big... It's funny. Our producer, William, put on the graphic. Take Command's big picture draft show. And I was like, you know what? That is...
Good producing, William.
That is correct. This is the biggest picture of a look at the 2025 NFL draft class that you're going to find. We're going to go through quickly position by position and just kind of talk about how the depth or lack of at some key positions impacts the Commanders sitting at the end of the first round, what they could do with all that this information. But Logan's been grinding the tape and watching a bunch of guys, and I've been trying to start my research as we get into this as well. And so we can take a pretty big picture look at the class today. Next week on this second show of the week, we are actually going to do our first, I don't know what we call it. Like, it's not, I guess we'll probably title it Mock Draft 1.0, but we're not going to be doing a whole lot of picking. Like, we're not going to pick for every team. We're going to take a look at a couple of simulations and then see what's left for the Commanders, make a pick, but also talk about kind of how this draft is laying out based off of what's going on, potential trade opportunities, things like that. So that'll be a really fun show that we do next week. Of course, earlier in the week, we'll do a mailbag. We got a couple of questions already in, but you can send your questions at hoffmanshow.com using the contact link. You can also hit me on Instagram at hoffman.sports, blue sky, at Craig Hoffman, and then Logan at Logan_Paulson82. So with all of that housekeeping out of the way, Logan, let's get to it.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Quarterback is obviously set for the Commanders, which is fantastic. Love that. But we should still look at the quarterback class just to kind of understand how it's going to affect the rest of the draft board. So I think the consensus is there's two potential first rounders, maybe a third sneaking in there. And then there might actually be, for the first time since 2014, more day two guys than day one guys. Again, day one now is just round one. Day two, second and third round. So, is that how you're seeing it so far? I know quarterback's probably not a position you spend a ton of time with yet because Jaden's got us all set here. But how do you think that ultimately affects this draft?
No, I think that's a great way to start because I think quarterbacks do often drive drafts, you know, and it's not because they're obviously the most important position in football, but when there are a lot of quarterbacks in the first round, they push down non-quarterbacks to the later part of the round. So I think when you just compare this draft to last year's draft and there's six quarterbacks taken, which is obviously a record, but those are six non-quarterbacks taken. So when you get down there and Indianapolis is able to take Latu, and then obviously Philadelphia is able to take Quinyon Mitchell, if there aren't six quarterbacks taken, those players are not there. They're not available for those selections. So I think understanding... excuse me, geez. The quarterback composition in this draft is extremely important. And so, yeah, I kind of see it that way, maybe not second day guys. It's interesting to see how the league is going to value these players. But obviously you have Shador and Cam Ward. And I think Cam Ward, I would at this point, and again, I haven't studied them really closely, but I'm just talking really high level, to me is a more interesting prospect. I think he's a little bit more talented. I think he kind of fits the modern quarterback mold a little bit better. But then I think when you get into the day two guys, like, they're interesting guys, right? It's Milroe from Alabama. It's Dylan Gabriel from Oregon. It's Will Howard from Ohio State. He's really interesting to me because I really like his film more than I thought I would. And then like Riley Taylor from Notre Dame. And when you say those guys, those kind of that second cluster of four there, none of those guys are really blowing the doors off. And so like, what are their ceilings? Like, I do think Will Howard maybe could be a starting caliber player at some point in his career, but all those guys are coming in as developmental prospects, right? And I think, again, like, it just kind of, I think, illuminates maybe a weaker quarterback class, and one that I think is going to impact the draft because there are less quarterbacks that people are going to be talking about in that first round area.
Yeah, for sure. Jackson Dart's the name that is one to watch as a riser here coming out of the Senior Bowl, which is interesting because apparently, like, Dane Brugler was saying on their show, he didn't think he had like a great Senior Bowl week, but all of a sudden the buzz is like, I don't know, could he sneak into the first round?
The other one is Tyler Slough. Tyler Slough is the other guy that had a really good Senior Bowl week. And so, yeah, Jackson Dart obviously has kind of...
Tyler Show, the kid from Louisville.
Yeah, sorry, Louisville. Yeah, he actually was very impressive. And I think he's a guy that before Senior Bowl was kind of like off everybody's radar, and now he's in that conversation that could be a day two guy. And again, if you're a Washington Commanders fan and you get a three quarterbacks in the second round, four quarterbacks in the second round, that's good because it's going to push down a non-quarterback to you at the bottom of the second round there, which is extremely important.
Or top/middle of the third too, because they got that Miami pick.
Yeah, so this is all good stuff, and it's good to understand kind of the quarterback position from a really high level because, again, like, this is one of those positions that really kind of lays the foundation for the rest of the draft.
For sure, and I think it's going to be interesting to watch the other side of this too, not just the supply, but what is the demand? Because, Tennessee needs a quarterback, but I don't know they're going to use the number one overall pick and pass up a generational type player like Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, the two guys.
Yeah, to me, that's like draft. That. And we'll talk about the cornerback thing and maybe Travis Hunter here specifically in a second. But Abdul Carter, man, like, he to me is right now, he's the best player on my board just after watching defensive lineman the other day. And I like Travis Hunter a lot, but he doesn't. And maybe this is somewhat controversial. Like, he doesn't feel like a top five player. Like, he's a top five player in terms of what he did in college playing both positions. But if you said, hey, where's he rank as a receiver? Where's he rank as a DB? Like, I don't know if he's a top five player in either one of those categories. Like, when you aggregate them together, yes, he's a unique one of one to watch, which is, I'm not diminishing anything he did in college, but I think it's important to say that he's probably not doing both at the NFL level, right? It's too much. So, that's a conversation for another show, but to me, Abdul Carter is—he's the guy. Like, if you went Travis Hunter, I think that's a mistake at one overall if you're Tennessee.
Interesting, but they could also go quarterback. They could also trade out. The Giants seem pretty desperate to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
Cleveland at two. Who knows what? I don't know if they know what they want to do at this point. So the demand side, like, a lot, because six quarterbacks went last year. Like, that's six teams that don't need one. You have a lot of you don't have as many quarterback needy teams as you maybe have in the past. So in that way, it's a match in terms of draft and whatever. But also, what are the machinations of the trades, whatever? So that's going to be, I think, something that's really fun to watch. It's certainly going to make the rumor mill go crazy over the next couple of months, but certainly something that's fun to watch on draft night. All right. One of the more interesting positions in this draft, because it is loaded and there is an unusual talent at the top of the pile, is running back.
Mm.
Ashton Jeanty, who is the Heisman runner up to Hunter. He is Dane Brugler's number five overall player. He could go anywhere from, I don't know, like the 10th or 12th pick all the way into the 20s. And he's a guy that I think a team like Washington or one of these playoff teams that's like, we need a weapon, could be looking to trade up into the late teens, early 20s to get if he starts to fall a little bit. But there's also a bunch of dudes later in this class that I know you're really high on as well. How does the running back position kind of shape this draft?
Yeah, like this year running back, like last year you were kind of like, oh my gosh, can this guy play? Is this guy a starter? Can this guy have a role? And you're kind of like hunting and pecking through the film. Oh, this guy catches the ball well. This guy could be a third down guy. And this year it's kind of like, the opposite. Like there's just a plethora, an overload, a cornucopia of running backs and guys that are really talented and fun to watch. And, you know, obviously Ashton Gentry is the guy that headlines this group, but Amarion Hampton from North Carolina, he's 6'1", 220. Like he's got some special juice. And I think if Ashton Gentry wasn't in this class, he'd definitively be being talked about, a guy who could potentially being drafted in the first round. And so now all of a sudden you go from a year where it's like, we never draft running backs in the first round to there's two guys. And then there's Caleb Johnson from Iowa. He's 6 foot, 225, kind of a track star, big body guy. But what I'm saying is that there's three dudes right there that have kind of first round-ish type talent. And I think obviously the kid from Iowa is more of a second round player. But then you get to the guy from the kids from Ohio State, like Travion Henderson, man. Like he is a explosive play waiting to happen. He adds so much kind of juice to an offense. And then you just go down the list. And honestly, like I have, what is this? This is a spreadsheet. I've got 30 running backs on here. I'm looking at the 25th and 22nd running back, you know, Kaylee Mullings from Michigan. He's a starting caliber running back. Again, I'm not like mincing words there. And that's the 25th player on this list that I'm looking at, right? So just to give you some context. So like, I know everyone's like, oh, Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, really good football players, and we're really excited to have them. But when you look at this list, man, you're like, this is a special year for running back. There's explosive playmakers in this class. There's dynamic playmakers in this class. There's guys that can catch the football. There's guys that can run between the tackles. So to me, like, I mean, you can take one in round two if you want, if there's somebody really talented there that you're juiced up about. But also, I'm kind of like, man, just wait. Third round, like, you got a bunch of compensatory picks. Like, let's make something happen there, because it is a crazy deep compared to last year. Like, last year, I thought there was maybe six guys that could play. Like this year, it's like 20. You know what I mean? So take your time, find a guy you like, and make a good selection.
Yeah, pick your style too. That's the other thing is, like, yeah. Do you want a more Eckler type of replacement? Do you want a B-Rob replacement? Do you want someone that's neither of those guys that does something completely different? I think there's a lot of options there. For whatever it's worth, I know you're really high on Hampton, but Dane has Johnson currently at 35, Hampton at 36 on his top 100. So he's got him neck and neck, obviously different stylistically. So, you know, again, pick your flavor in terms of versatility and scheme and all that kind of stuff. But I think Genty is one of the guys to watch, because he's a guy that a playoff team could trade up for. They could see him as like, that's our Jahmyr Gibbs, that's our Saquon, that's our Derrick Henry. Like, we need that piece that's an easy button in our offense. And rookie running backs can often translate very, very well early. And so that is a position where if you're a good team, and I'm including the Commanders in this, and you want to be able to draft a guy that has an immediate impact, you can do a lot worse than than going the running back route.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because I do think there are very few, maybe none, true blue chip prospects in this class on the offensive side of the football, right? And I think obviously we just mentioned defensively, there's Abdul Carter, there's Travis Hunter, there's Mason Graham, right? There's a lot of really good football players on the defensive side of the ball early in this draft. But offensively, you're talking about the receiver from Arizona, I forget his name.
McMillan.
He's tall. Yeah, McMillan. He's a dynamic playmaker.
6'5", 210.
Ooh. And he's a fun watch, man. I mean, he's a little like kind of lackadaisical, but he's a fun guy to watch in terms of how he catches the football. But then you got Warren, you got Loveland, and then Genty, right? In terms of like offensive guys that are kind of changing your organization, I'd maybe throw Will Campbell in there a little bit. You know what I mean? The offensive lineman, like really good football player. I don't think he's a top five guy, but he feels like a guy you can build an offensive line around. So not a lot. And so when you have just such few true impactful offensive weapons, like, again, like the running back becomes more valuable. We've seen what Jahmyr Gibbs can do, or he's done in Detroit. We've seen what Bijan's done in Atlanta. Like, this guy feels like that type of player. So, I do think if you're looking for offensive firepower, offensive juice, offensive production, like, there's not a lot of things you look to and you say, oh, this is the guy, right? And so those are the four guys that I would look to, you know? And again, like, if teams feel the same way that I do, why not trade up and add a little offensive juice?
For sure.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, let's do the two remaining skill positions, and then we'll hit the lines of scrimmage, and then we'll get to the back seven of the defense to wrap out the show. So with that, let's go to wide receiver first, and then we'll hit tight end. You mentioned McMillan, 6'5", 210 out of Arizona. Dane's got also top 30 grades on three other players, Burden from Mizzou, Egbuka from Ohio State, and Golden from Texas. But there is also just a ton. There's probably like 12, 13 guys that he's got top 100 grades on at the wide receiver position. So how does the wide receiver position look to you in terms of top end and depth in this draft?
Yeah, so I'm really glad you brought that up, because I do think like the top is nowhere near what it was last year. And last year was a special year. You know, you've got three guys that were special prospects, like kind of easy evals. They kind of do everything well. This year, not so much. You know what I mean? And so like the peak is obviously McMillan. I have some reservations about his play style, but man, he can catch the football and he can run routes and he can do a lot of stuff that you don't expect a big body guy to do. And he's special in that way. And so then you said Burton was the other one, right? Or Burden,
yeah, Burden,
excuse me.
Mizzou.
And then Egbuka.
5'11", 210 from Mizzou. Yeah.
So, and I don't know where he's got them on the list, but to me, they're probably closer to second round players. I don't know. Can you?
He's got them at 20, 24, 27. Or for Burden, yeah,
so that seems
Golden,
right. That's probably even a little bit high for me for Burden, but that I think is a good feel. I will say, however, when you get outside of those three, I do think there are some really good football players kind of on that second day that can really impact your team. Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, he's 6'4", 215. I really like him. Kind of smooth, kind of a less physical Drake London. Xavier Restrepo from Miami, kind of true slot receiver. Xavion Williams is maybe the most interesting receiver in the draft to me this year from TCU. He's like a converted quarterback. He plays Wildcat. Reminds you a little bit of Cordell Patterson, can kind of do all these different things after the catch. Big body, 6'4", 230-ish. Like, and then they've got Alec Illuminor from Stanford, who absolutely diced Travis Hunter 2 years ago when they played Colorado. Stanford played Colorado. So there are players who are like, oh, like these are interesting prospects that maybe are not perfect in terms of value of evaluation, you know, like Xavion Williams, for example, has not been overly productive the last couple of years, but was productive last year, right? So kind of 1 year of high level production. Illuminor is kind of this big angular true X type body type, but needs a little bit refinement in terms of route running. So there are some questions as you move down into there. Xavier Restrepo, is he a pure slot guy, right? So like questions, but I think you get good football players. And if you kind of know who you are from an offensive standpoint, you could make a really solid selection there and get an impact player and say, if I have a very clear vision and role for this type of player, I think there are guys there in the second and third round that you say, okay, there's going to be a, I think that's where the run of receivers is probably going to happen.
I think the other thing too is in hearing you talk about some of those guys and scrolling through this Dane's list here is like, you got a lot of big bodies. Now there's a ton of guys. You got your 5'9s and your 5'11 dudes, yeah, as well, but there's a decent selection of 6'3, 6'4, 6'5. Like, and for Washington is kind of trying to find that, and we'll see what they do. You know, Noah Brown, they could bring back, is a little bit bigger body type, but even he's not that big. And then we'll obviously see, you know, T. Higgins is out on the market, but I think his price is probably going to be really, really rich. But like finding those body types is hard, and can they find one that works for them and has the competitive spirit they like and all that kind of stuff within their offense? That's definitely a position to watch. Speaking of big bodies, tight end, couple of dudes at the top that are ballers, and then there's great depth in this class as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, I think, you know, Tyler Warren probably played himself into that first spot. Feels after watching the tape, like, gosh, if you just want to watch just like a fun, like go pull up a Tyler Warren highlight or Tyler Warren game film, like dude blocks in line. He's competitive at the catch point. I know every year everyone says this guy reminds me of Gronkowski. I am not one of those persons. This guy reminds me of Rob Gronkowski. Like he's big. He wins with his frame in a way and he can run. He's got like a great physicality after the catch. Like true, like there are, again, Rob Gronkowski might be the best tight end of all time, but if you think about stature, size, physicality, ability to compete.
Gronk was a legit 6'7". This guy's 6'6". So like it's not like this is a 6'4 guy that you're like, I don't know, he reminds me of Gronk throwing his big body. Like he's a legit 6'6", listed at 255, and we'll see how what he comes in at the combine.
And the way he adjusts the ball in the air, special. Colston Loveland, man, like, gosh, if the Commanders are like looking for his pick at 29 and they're worried about tight end production, like I would do an absolute backflip. If like, cause again, Warren is special. I think Colston Loveland is the difference maker in the pass game. Like that could translate to the NFL level. He can run the option. He can run a choice. He runs these.
He's your Zach Ertz replacement.
I mean, 100%. I don't think he makes it that far because I think he's we talked about the lack of true offensive playmakers.
Yeah, like, Dane's got him at 11.
So. Yeah. So like, and there's some lists that have him in the 20s, and if he's in the 20s, like I think those guys are flat out wrong. But you know, like. People make mistakes, right? So if someone makes a mistake and he's sitting there at 29, I think you feel pretty good about making that selection. But however, like despite all that, like there are some really good guys down the list, like Mason Taylor from LSU, physical, inline, competitive, right? Harold Fannin Jr. is a weird one from Bowling Green, kind of this move F receiver type guy, kind of a weird running style, but difference maker. Terrence Ferguson from Oregon special. The kid from Miami, what's his name? Oh, I gotta find it. Hang on, give me 1 second. Elijah Arroyo, like, is like basically like a big body wide receiver that can run around a little bit. He's competes in line. There's just a lot of dude. Like last year is another great example. There weren't a lot of guys where like this guy could be a difference maker at the NFL level. And here there's probably five outside the top two that you're like, you are a starting caliber F or starting caliber Y at the NFL level. And I think that's going to be awesome too to see how that goes. So if you do need tight end playmaking ability, there are a bunch of guys that kind of fit that mold.
Yeah, I decided to pull up a few mock drafts real quick, and I got Loveland going anywhere between 17 and 22. But as you said, there's depth down. And I think watching what the Commanders do with that third round Miami pick is going to be really, really interesting, because that's where you get into maybe some of the range of the tight ends that we're talking about. Some of them it might be too late for some of the guys you mentioned, obviously, but the running backs as well, two positions of strength in this class. The third position of strength in this class, according to most, is defensive line. We'll get to that in just a moment, but we'll get to the offensive line next here on Take Command.
Mm-hmm. What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.